Welcome back to Happy Brain. I'm Sean Block. I'm here with Heather Heinen, and we are going to be talking about some tips and techniques for our mental health. And right away, Heather, I wanted to start with a kind of a real life scenario and get your help as a seasoned mental health professional. I know you do a lot of different things, coaching and along the lines of that. But a couple months ago, I really couldn't sleep one night, just totally stressed. You know, so when you wake up and you just feel that kind of tension and just anxiety where you just keep thinking and then you just can't get relaxed. You can't calm down. And, you know, so I tried different things. I tried getting up, trying to get something to eat, walking around. I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm never going to get to sleep. And so I try to do some breathing. I try to do some kind of technique where you try to kind of feel in your body a little bit, but I was really having a hard time doing that. And I know one of the tips you wanted to share today is kind of how to get and process your body and how to get into the feeling and sensations to kind of help reduce some of that tension. Can you kind of walk us through maybe that would help me and other people in that kind of situation?
Yes, absolutely. So first, I just have to ask, was this like the middle of the night you woke up or you're having trouble falling asleep?
Middle of the night. Like, so you fell asleep and then just like suddenly woke up.
Got it. Yeah. And wide awake. Yeah. Yeah. So one of the techniques I love to teach, and this could be, you know, for the situation you're talking about, but this is also a practice I really recommend to my clients to start to get in touch with their feelings and with their body sensations. So we talk a lot about, you know, any feeling we have, we're going to experience these little, I call them chemical cocktails that go along with each feeling. And those chemical cocktails are the sensations we actually feel in our bodies. And I know you get this. I've listened to your podcast, so I know you understand this, but a lot of people have zero idea that when they have a feeling, there are actually sensations going on in their body. If you're in a state like that, if you can for a moment try to verbalize the feeling that you're having. So, you know, we could take a guess that you were feeling like some anxiety, maybe some stress, you know. And the idea is just to name it. So to be able to say the feeling, and we have lots of research that supports if we can just name our feeling, that tension will come down. But then the step I like to take it one step further, because we also have research with this. If we can then go into our body and name the sensations that are happening in our body, that also helps reduce that tension and can bring that stress load and that anxiety down a little bit. The trick is almost like learning the vocabulary. So it's getting good at what are the feeling. I mean, there's thousands. Most of us think happy, sad, mad, you know, but we want nuanced feeling words, and then learning the vocabulary of the sensations. I like using a body scan where you imagine like a big spotlight slowly moving down your body, and everywhere that light is hitting, you would name, what am I feeling in my body? So as the light moves down, maybe in your situation, it was like, I feel tightness in my head, or I feel ringing in my ears, or, you know, so tight. A lot of times with anxiety, it's tightness in the throat, heavy heartbeat.
I can tell you, in my case, it was like, it felt like almost like ants are crawling on my skin or something. I felt like this tingling. Antsy. That's funny.
Antsy. Yeah.
Is that
a
joke? I like it. So yeah, it hurt. And it's like, you almost feel like that sense where you can't settle down. So I was like, you know, and that, so it was tingly. It was anxious. It was just so uncomfortable, you know, like just like cringy and tension. So are those the kind of words that help?
Absolutely.
Describe?
Yeah. And you know, when I'm talking to clients about this, I just tell them, well, in my office, I have lists of those things that I can hand them, but it's like to just Google sensation words, and you can kind of even go through the list. So, you know, let's just say you had these printed out next to your bed, like next to your bedside table, so with that, when you wake up, you can kind of, if you wake up, you can peek at those and kind of like go down the list. It's this, you know, so feeling list, feeling words, and then here's the sensation list. It's this, and that can help give us the vocabulary and get really good at the vocabulary piece too.
It sounds like we're also kind of not distracting ourselves, but just kind of getting into it, I don't know, somehow getting our body
connecting,
like, aligning. So we're maybe getting or spinning and stopping because we're actually going, okay, actually what's going on, right? What's actually happening right now?
Well, your point is perfect because really what this does, it takes us out of our head in a way and connects us to our body. And that's the piece that starts to bring down. I always think of that kind of stuff as like just in general, like tension, right? So anytime we have anxiety or we're stressed, it's like tension in the body. And so when we can name those things, that tension reduces. And again, and I'm sure you know this, but I think it was Lieberman's the guy with who did a lot of the research on, you know, how this works, how it shifts us out of our amygdala and into more of our frontal lobe, which brings everything down. So yeah, that sleeping stuff is tough.
Okay. So that would have really helped. One technique I did, I mean, I tried everything. I did breathing. Yeah. So the 2-1 breathing that helped, but I kept thinking about I was like, oh, breathing. And then I tried eating. I tried.
Yeah. Did that work? Trying to get you into the parasympathetic state, you something. Know, or rest and digest. Yeah.
And then I tried some movement. I did a little yoga in the middle of the night. So I was actually in my bedroom, pitch black, and I'm sitting there trying to do some, you know, sun salutations or something. Yeah. And hadn't done yoga in a long time. So that was a painful experience.
So that was new.
Right. But anyway, I was just trying everything. And, you know, eventually I fell asleep. But I'm always trying to find kind of tips and techniques.
Have you ever heard of yoga nidra? Because that's always one too. I mean with sleep, you know, that's a big one to
but it's funny you mentioned that. So I guess I was having a night, but usually I can put on like yoga nidra or some kind of relaxing thing, and I don't even remember Raph past the first 2 minutes. I know I'm in trouble, right? I know I'm in trouble when I can hear the whole yoga nidra, and at the end, the woman is just, you know, saying you're probably not even listening to me right now, so I'm just going to start talking about my day. What? No, she didn't do that. But the point is that at the end you don't usually hear it, and I heard her finish, and I'm like,
I know that's the worst. I've been there too. That is the worst because then you're like, it didn't work.
That's amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be really helpful. So naming kind of our emotions, feeling. I wanted to kind of
In the body scan, right?
In the body scan,
yeah.
I love
it. To name your sensations, yeah.
I love it. Well, I'm going to take advantage of the fact, and I'm going to switch gears, and we're going to do some bonus tips today because one of the things I noticed about your profile is you're an adventurer, you're a rock climber, you're a cyclist, probably do a million other things, and I wanted to just throw this random topic about adventure and mental health and how. And how, for example, rock climbing, for example, I'm sure that one of the things that rock climbing does for you is you can't think about anything else when you're rock climbing, right? I mean, it's life or death, right?
This is why I'm addicted. Yes.
And then you get into the...
Well, it's not death, but...
Well...
I'm protected by a rope, but yes, you're feeling like you could fall. There's fear there.
Bad things can happen if you're not paying attention, right?
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
So can you just take us through a little bit as a mental health professional yourself, how does adventure and play a role in your mental health and how it can help us?
Yes. So to your point, when you are rock climbing or maybe when you're on your bike and that sort of thing, there really is, and I'm sure you've heard of flow state before, there really is this space where your attention is so focused. And for me, when I started rock climbing, it was like 20 plus years ago. I think it might have been the first time that my anxiety went away. You know, it was sort of like I still didn't even know I was dealing with anxiety, but, you know, that was a thing for me. And so when I started rock climbing, when I would be on the rock and you have to be so focused, this singular focus, there was such calm, if anyone deals with anxiety, they'll get it, like the rumination, the thoughts, the thinking. I think it was the first, so I think it was the first time I was really out of my head and was able to focus attention and therefore in that flow state. And it was such a, I don't know, how would you describe it? Like a freeing feeling, you know? I mean, it almost in a way truly does become addictive because it's like, whoa, as a human being. Like, this is a whole new state of existence that is amazing, you know? So yes, that's a huge part of it. And, you know, another part that's just popping into mind, which I'm sure you'll get, is some of the adventuring I do, it's part of that, but it's also just this being out in nature and being outside. And I'm a huge get outside. I think I hashtag everything I post with get outside, step outside. Like, I'm just such a big proponent of that and how our mental and emotional health can really improve simply from being outside, getting that. And again, you know, I can get a little sciencey with this stuff, and it's like, we have so much research behind this as well, like touching rock or, you know, being on the ground, grounding. People think that stuff is woo-woo, but, you know, it's like, oh gosh, we know what that does to our blood, to our, you know, it's amazing. So that's probably another reason that,
oh my gosh,
I think it's so important.
And rock climbing is such a beautiful analogy, because you're literally taking one step, one grip at a time. Yeah. I mean, you have to focus immediately, like, what's right in front of you. I mean, I do some skiing. Really do. I do some skiing, and and it's the same thing. You have to pay attention to every moment. But rock climbing even seems even more like immediate. I mean, like to the second, right? It's in that feeling, and you talk about flow for sure. So, as a person with lived experience, not a professional mental health person, but I have a professional mental health experience profile.
Yes,
but exactly. I've talked about that before. I was very fascinated, and I did some study on flow and the guy that kind of came up with this. But
cool.
And anytime you can get into flow, whatever you're doing, like it frees you for like a time. It's like timeless, right? You forget about all the other stuff, and it's like
that word, free.
Free.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but like, when you're doing an adventure, it sounds like, especially rock climbing or whatever, skiing or hiking or whatever, it's a quick entry into that because you don't have a choice.
It is. That's exactly it. You don't get to think about it. You are forced into it. You know, I was also thinking as you were talking, and you've probably had this with some of your experiences, there's another piece to it too. And a little bit that's, because as you were talking about rock climbing, I was thinking in my head, it's like you're problem solving too. It's like a puzzle that you're putting together. But I was thinking about a lot of my adventuring, and maybe especially on my bike when I'm doing some of that solo biking stuff, it's such a struggle, right? So part of it too, I think, is this struggle that you are forced into when you're adventuring, when you're doing a sport. There's a struggle. There's a struggle for the body. There's a struggle for problem solving. I'm thinking of you skiing too. Even that, and I snowboard, it's like, it's a little different than rock climbing, but you're still problem solving. Like, where's my line? You know, where am I going here? How am I going to avoid that? What do I, so it's still this sort of putting together a puzzle, and there's a struggle in it. And it's like coming out on the other side of adventuring or sport, and you've gone through that struggle. There's some resiliency that builds. So I'm connecting that to like mental, emotional health as well, because we know resiliency is so important.
Yeah, no, and what's come to mind when you say that is, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're working out and you're going through a really difficult workout and it's so stressful and you go, oh, I just want this to be done. I can't deal with this. Like, real life seems so much easier, you know, like,
right.
When you're not in that adventure. So if you take all those struggles and pain and everything, and then you're not in that situation, you're like, oh, life is not that bad. Like, you know, that's kind of what came to mind there.
Yeah. Well, and I'm thinking about, I think about where I've spent days on my bike. And then you finally make it. You get home and you get to finally take a shower or sleep in a bed. And it's like you're so appreciative of those things. So that's another piece too. Like, it really makes you grateful for what you do have, and being able to be like in the shower. All of a sudden I'm in the moment of like, this is amazing, getting to take a shower. So turns everyday moments into something.
Totally. I totally agree. And I know from your background, you talk about these solo bike experiences where you're going for like what, days sometimes?
Yeah, I've gone the most I've gone. I'm a little new to this. This has been a few years. And so I'm doing one or two a summer. And so the most I've gone is like a 4 day. Yeah. Wow. 4 days.
So,
yeah.
So what we're talking about here is you get your bike, you put little bags or panniers on it. You put a backpack. Yeah. I mean, put a little tent or sleeping bag or something.
Yes.
And you just go off and you ride. Yes. And that's all you have is what's on you. And then you go to campsites and things like that. And you do this on your own.
So that has been the first one I did was with my best friend. She kind of got me into it. But after that, everything's been solo, which was another decision. There's been a couple where my fiance's come with, but I've done big ones on my own. And to be honest, like I say, I'm an adventurer, but I had never camped on my own. And so I just did that where I camped outside by myself last summer. So that was a really big deal. I know it sounds dumb, but to me that was huge. And let me tell you who wasn't sleeping. I was not sleeping.
Oh, because you're listening to all the critters.
I was scared. Yeah.
Listen
totally.
To all
but,
the critters.
But coming out of that, again, it was this fear. It was a struggle, but I made it through, right? And so that was huge. My confidence, you know, it's like, oh, those sort of things are, life-changing. Yeah.
So the theme is, you know, struggling in these athletic endeavors, these challenges, all these different things, and then relating it back to your real life, where things like maybe aren't as difficult as you think, or you mentioned the word resilience. You build up these resilience, these skills, you know, these people who do like deep backpacking stuff and all these different experiences, they have probably, more resilience in your day-to-day life. So when you're can't sleep and you're stressed and all that, you can think back, well, I got through like 2 days and sleeping on the ground with bears in the distance.
Yes. Yes, yes, mountain lions in my neck of the woods, but yes. And you know that whole, and if we bring it back around to what we started talking about with emotion and sensation in our body, you know, I think about times like I've been, you know, really depressed at times, super anxious at times. It's so horrible to feel those feelings and uncomfortable to feel those feelings, but with some resilience, maybe in these other places in my life or your life where it's that physical resilience that we build, I can have times now where it's sort of like I'm feeling those really negative, heavy duty emotions. And it's sort of like, but I know I'll get through this. I know this will pass. Because sometimes feeling difficult emotions is maybe harder than going on a 3 day bike packing adventure, you know?
I like it. I like how we just kind of went full circle about talking, you know, about feelings and naming feelings and then going on these adventure trips and building resilience. I love that. Cool. So I know that you have people want to get to know more about Heather. You have different programs. You have a wealth of things you talk about. I know you talk a lot about food, weight, your weight journey. Do you want to just share really quickly your podcast, because you're a fellow podcaster, and maybe a couple of the ways that they can learn from you? I know you have a couple programs as well.
Sure. Thanks so much. The podcast is, I always get what I'm like, what am I describing? Okay. My podcast, Weight Loss and Wellness for Real. And weight loss is in the title. I'll be honest. That's a little bit of a hook. You know, weight loss is, a lot of people are looking for weight loss. So I do focus on that, but really most of what I talk about, it's a lot of mental, emotional health stuff. You know, even if you're not looking for weight loss, I hope there's a lot of value in that. And then, if people want to find me, I have a website, heatherheinen.com. Probably, you know, you can link to everything from there. Instagram is Heinen Counseling and Coaching. I don't know. I picked that a long time ago. It's not super catchy, but whatever. So, those are probably the big places people can find me. I do have a couple of online courses that I have going, but you can find all that stuff at my website.
That's awesome. Is there anything else that you want to share with us? Any wisdom, like maybe from your podcast, or any tip that you wanted to kind of leave us with as we go?
Well, you said wisdom, so now there's pressure. Uh-oh. But you know, one of the biggest things I would just say is I just really have this thought and this idea that I think for most people, you know, difficulties in life come from not being taught how to feel feelings. You know, if you really think about, if you know how to feel and process feelings well, no matter what comes your way, you feel equipped, You know it'll pass. You can deal with so much if you can, if you can have confidence that you can feel your feelings, that you can weather the storm, you know how to process them. So I guess that would be my tip, that, you know, if you're someone out there who really has a hard time feeling negative feelings, there are skills you can practice and learn. This isn't crazy stuff. You can practice these things. You can learn how to feel your feelings, and you will find that really creates a life filled with a lot more peace. Not necessarily happiness all the time, but a lot more peace.
I love it. That's so helpful. Well, thank you so much, Heather, for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun. I can't wait to share this with everybody.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Sean. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Happy Brain. If you enjoyed this, make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you have an extra second, leave us an honest review over on iTunes or your Apple podcasting app. And until next time, my friends, keep that brain of yours happy.